Every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it. Because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. They're doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion. Their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Welcome to The Leaking Timeline, my friend, the show where we regularly cast ourselves adrift in the very seas of technology and culture for your listening pleasure. I'm Eric Newton, and as always, this paragon of virtue sitting across from me is my good friend and co-host, Guy Singstock. Hey, Guy.
Hey, Eric.
How you doing this week?
I'm doing great now that we're on that place, on the timeline, in that dial.
I mean, even if it is leaking a little bit, right?
Yeah, but, you know, a show where we make it much more interesting.
Exactly. I mean, you might as well talk about it. Yeah. If it's leaking, you might as well talk about it. That's what I always say. Well, so we've got, this is going to be an interesting show.
Yeah.
This is our first guest that one of us doesn't in some way know personally.
Right.
Now, and I'm very excited to talk about him.
And I won't hold it against him.
Exactly. Well, hopefully this is, you know, the first step towards, yeah, you know, a deep and abiding friendship.
Yes.
With David Jones.
Yes.
So David Jones is the longtime chairman of the board of Humana, one of the largest health insurers in the country, and he's the son of the founder. And his father passed away recently and had written an autobiography, which was never released. And the family decided we should write this and edit it and get it ready and release it. And they've just done that. So this book about this icon who founded one of the largest companies in America, one of the most successful health-related companies in the world, really, is out and ready to be read. And so we have his son on to talk about not just the book,
right?
But for me, what is more exciting is the opportunity to talk to a guy who's been in healthcare since he was a little kid, in some sense.
Yeah.
Like his dad was building this company from, yeah, nothing into this behemoth.
Yeah.
And he was right there for the entire process.
Totally.
So he had like a front row seat to what it's like to do that.
Yeah.
Right. Just from a business perspective,
right,
is extraordinary. And also from a healthcare perspective. So right after this break, we'll be back to speak with David Jones on The Leaking Timeline.
Progressive knows if you have to choose between everyday life and your boat, boat wins.
What are you going to do? Take the boat out for a spin or go mail something?
Boat wins!
Are we cleaning the patio or taking the boat out fishing?
Boat wins!
Are we skipping that eye exam to go sailing?
Boat wins!
Rescheduling eye exams can be a nightmare.
All right, fine. Eye exam, then boat.
Yeah!
With Progressive, you can bundle your boat with your home or auto and save with a discount and spend more time enjoying those savings on your boat. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states and situations.
Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both, airline and hotel, with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time. 800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816.
Are you over the age of 50? Want peace of mind and financial security for your family? Here's an important message to you from Senior Care USA. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. That leaves your loved ones the burden of paying your debts and funeral costs. Our plans start as low as $1 per day and will pay your family up to $30,000 to help pay for your funeral and other expenses. There are no medical exams, your rates will never increase, and your plan cannot be canceled, regardless of your medical conditions, as long as you make your premium payments. Get up to $30,000 in final expense insurance. Call now for free information. Just answer a few simple questions and get approved right over the phone in just a few minutes. Call right now.
Call 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. That's 800-399-6879.
Remember when they used to ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? At Bank of America, we ask every day, what would you like the power to do? When you work here, you help build businesses, inspire communities, and forge legacies. And now we've raised our U.S. minimum wage to $25 an hour. So the opportunity to do more also comes with competitive pay. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/25. Bank of America, proud to be an equal opportunity employer.
Welcome back to The Leaking Timeline with Eric Newton and Guy Singstock. We are live today with David Jones, the legendary chairman of the board at Humana for many years. And we're looking forward to talking to him about his insights on healthcare and emerging technologies and trends in that space. And of course, his legendary father and the remembrance of that icon. Welcome to the show, David. It's so great to have you here with us.
Oh, it's so great to be here with you. Thank you so much for having me. This is Eric, right?
Yeah, this is Eric, and we've got Guy Singstock.
Okay, and Guy is also, Eric and Guy are both on. Great.
Yep.
Well, it's really nice to be talking to you today, and thank you for that nice introduction.
Yeah, likewise. You know, I just want to say I'm so sorry about the loss of your dad. When did he pass?
Well, he passed in 2019, so it's actually been, he passed right before COVID. So it's one of those complicated things, Eric, where in some ways, we were all spared the agony that so many families went through when their elders wound up sort of, stuck away in hospitals or nursing homes where nobody could visit them. But, my dad had a great life. He passed at age 88, and he was going strong until 6 months before he died. He was going to the office every day. He had new projects. He was just a bundle of energy. And then out of the blue, he got diagnosed with a form of cancer, multiple myeloma, which is one of those things that you get into probably healthcare. It's one of those things, if you're a younger person, it's gone from a death sentence to now something that can be turned into a kind of a treatable chronic illness. But for a much older body, it's just very, very hard to get through.
Yeah.
But anyway, he had a great life. He left a book that I helped him edit and then got published after he was gone. And that just came out a couple years ago, 18 months ago, I guess.
And what's the name of the book for our listeners?
The book is called David A. Jones, Always Moving Forward.
Great.
And it's an autobiography. Tells the story of not only his business, not a business book. It includes the story of building Humana, but it's, you know, it's very much a life story of a, you know, character who did a lot of different things.
Yeah, had a deep impact on his community. It sounds like he was a huge figure in Louisville, where he's still very beloved.
That's correct.
You know, Guy and I were reflecting before you joined that you've had an extraordinary ride being his son, or we would imagine that you had. You know, you from the time you were a little kid, your dad was building this company from nothing to this behemoth. And you and your siblings were right there, front row seat to not just what it takes to build a company like that, but also what it means to be in, you know, one of the most strategically important industries in America, healthcare. And what a pleasure. And I wonder where that leaves you today, looking around at the state of healthcare in the United States, what insights you have for us.
Well, there are a couple things to pull out, and I know that you guys, I mean, I love the podcast and the range of things and the way you come at them, but when I was born, you know, my dad was in graduate school courtesy of the GI Bill, and he rose from very humble beginnings. And so there's a great entrepreneur story and, you know, all these questions of, you know, gosh, has the world changed for people with vision who are trying to build things? You know, we still have tremendous entrepreneurs today who do great things. He had a wonderful journey that way. But he did, he did all of this in healthcare, and, you know, where we are with healthcare today, you know, in some ways, it's such a complicated muddle. I mean, we could have one conversation that would be, golly gee whiz, look at the incredible things that we can do today. You know, the cancers that can be cured, pediatric leukemia, for example, used to be a death sentence for most children. Now, most children, survive and go on to have a long life. We can all pick out things like that, the new medicines, the GLP-1s, gee whiz,
right?
What can AI do? Yeah. But then, you know, then there's this whole other reality, which is, golly, I mean, everyone who encounters the healthcare system is frustrated with the bureaucracy, with the cost, and for a very significant percentage of our population, maybe as much as half, you know, access is a real issue. And some of that is if you live in a rural area or, you know, parts of the city where there are very few clinicians, you might be able to get to an emergency room, or if you have a car crash, a helicopter can carry your broken body somewhere, but you can't realistically, you know, have a family doctor or a primary care. You know, you can't really have a counselor who helps you build your health. And then for a whole nother chunk of the population, their insurance deductibles, you know, the out-of-pocket costs are so high that, you know, once again, people avoid going to the doctor until they're really, really sick. And that's a horrible upside-down framework. You know, when if you most of these things, you know, catch them early, you do a lot better. So where do you want to go?
Well, I think you
roses,
point to a
roses or thorns.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. You can't step over the roses, but you have to watch out. And it's, yeah, as you said, everybody feels like they're getting pricked by those thorns. I think what,
yeah,
one thing you're pointing to that is so true is that no matter what demographic or what strata of society you're in, you're frustrated. And so everybody, yeah, has their own, yeah, answer for their own strata. You know, it depends on where you stand in the sort of structure of the country, what your solution is. And yet we need a solution that solves the base level problem of access and affordability for everybody.
Yep.
And I wonder if
you're,
you have a,
you're right,
you know, we only have 2 minutes before the end of this segment here, but I wonder if you can bottom, yeah, sure, line in 2 minutes, is there actually a solution for that strata? Or for the entire kit and caboodle?
Well, so it's, you know, there's no ultimately simple answer, but I would say there are three points. One is everybody needs to be insured so that they're in the system, not just wandering around. Second, because only about half of the population can pay the actual, you know, medical costs, forget the profit margins and, you know, insurance loads and all that stuff. There needs to be a subsidy. Government pays for half of healthcare today, and I think it'll have to stay at about that level because of how expensive things are. But then the third point is we need to pivot to favor primary care rather than specialty care. We do a great job at, you know, heroics, but we really leave prevention and teaching, and not teaching, supporting people as they try to be healthy. And there's lots of magic coming from AI. There's lots of innovators. You probably talked to other innovators in the wellness and, you know, nutrition landscapes. There's great stuff going on, but people need a trusted medical relationship, a nurse practitioner, a doctor, somebody who can be there, you know, be with them along the way. Cause, you know, we all start young and we all, if we're lucky enough to, you know, to make it all the way through, we all end up old and frail. And we touch every point of the system along the way, and a guide is really important. But those are my three points. Everybody in the boat,
yep.
Subsidize those who need it, and then primary care first.
And on the primary care first point, it seems like a fascinating and correct insight. However, it always has struck me that it's not a scalable thing, and that might be, you know, but we might be at the apex or at the inflection point where AI can actually make it scalable. Is that your view?
I think it can help AI. I mean, technology can help an enormous amount. But I think we also, you know, it's like all these other things, you know, the cost of medical education is so high. The amount of time that people have to go in, you know, you really have to, you know, I heard a really interesting talk. It doesn't fit your 10 seconds left, but, you know, our system was built on kind of a 1910 white paper that created the scientific medical education, very important, responsible for a lot of the greatness we have today. But I think it's time for another look at how we educate and organize, and, you know, why does being a doctor have to be the slowest and most expensive credential to get when what we really need are a whole lot more doctors?
Yeah, we do need a lot more doctors.
You know, AI, we've got lots of tools that we could, you know, we could come after that with. But the human connection, you know, is vital.
Yeah. Well, that's a great place.
Machine supported.
That's a great place to take a pause and go to our commercial break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with David Jones from Humana.
This is a true sad story for ADT, the leader in home security systems. My favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen, protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
If you've got a property that you've been trying to sell and you've tried almost everything, I want to tell you about something that you haven't tried yet. You're going to think this offer is too good to be true, but it's not. Thousands of customers have sold their homes in any condition with Need to Sell My Home. This is a real opportunity from a highly rated company that buys homes all over the country. Did you know it's possible to sell your home right over the phone with no real estate commissions and no pesky open houses? Plus, every offer is a cash offer with no mortgage holdups. To find out how much you can sell your home or property for, call now. Take 5 minutes of your time and call for this 100% free quote to sell your home.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
Welcome back to The Leaking Timeline with Eric Newton and Guy Singstock. We're live today with David Jones, the former chairman of Humana. You can join the conversation at 800-878-7529, and we would love to hear from you. So, David, you know, we're talking about, it sounds to me like a third stage or a paradigm shift in how we approach healthcare in the United States. And you're focusing on the need for people to have sort of better, more comprehensive access to primary care as one of your 3 points. And, you know, I want to pivot off of that and say that in my own experience, I'm spending thousands of extra dollars a year just to get blood work and to follow my own, you know, to follow my own biometrics and my own data to try to get an assessment that is comprehensive and I think even relevant in many cases. And when I take that to my primary care providers, they just shrug. I mean, they want to do their best, but it's like they don't have the time. They haven't read all the papers. Yeah. They're not up on the research. You know, it's almost like their education ended when they got out of med school and they're just kind of like treating colds and coughs ever since then. And if I want to optimize at any level, I've got to go above and beyond and spend money that most people don't have. And I wonder, you know, it seems like everybody ought to be able to have access in this day and age to what I'm cobbling together. Do you think there's a way to make that available to the masses?
So, Eric, I do. I think you've made a great point before the break that, you know, where you are, you know, kind of in a three-dimensional puzzle really affects your view of healthcare. It's, geography, economics, but also age. And I do think, you know, we haven't met in person, but, you know, I'm looking at a picture of you. You look like you're fit. You're sort of, you know, compared to me, you're young. And
you must be looking at me, actually.
you must be looking at a guy.
you look that way. You look that way too. But I think you're both younger than me. But you're both, you know, for a very large part of our life, if we have the, you know, if we do live, let's say we live to age 80 or so, you know, for the bulk of that life, if we don't get a dread disease, and we take generally good care of ourselves with nutrition, we don't smoke, you know, we don't overindulge, then, you know, we've got a pretty good chance of being healthy. And the number of people I know also, and just actually, let's go back to AI for a minute. If you have access to a really, the most massively extensive, blood test you can get and like a full body scan, and get those things run through, you know, a great AI engine, you may not need more diagnostic work, right? I mean, that may be able to spot better than, you know, the primary care system that does rely on doctors' memories and, you know, also the communication between you and all that. Anyway, there is some evidence emerging. It's probably too early to have deep studies, but that feels like, man, a way for a whole lot of people to get assurance that they don't have some real problem. However, we're more than our body chemistry, right? I mean, there's emotional health, yeah. There's, you know, transitions that people go to. And again, what is, to me, where is the human relationship important? And I actually think with the ever smarter machines, you know, if we can be ever smarter about our human relationships, you know, the counselor aspect of that primary care is what I'm looking for. But let's put your demographic aside for a minute. Where I'm actually really focused is in the world of the older person, when they're the complexity of their physical condition, just as, you know, they systems decay, blood vessels thicken, organs get tired, et cetera. And the complexity increases and the need, not so much, I mean, counseling is important, but navigation is vital. And I'll just, if I can talk a minute about my dad again,
yeah.
You know, my dad was mentally together all the way through. He had a sense of humor, a great sense of humor. He was filled with joy and energy, but, you know, he got really sick and he had a great primary care doctor who he loved, but, you know, the complexity was way outside of that guy's, of any primary care doc's,
yep.
And suddenly, you know, my dad's body became not a human being, but a set of organs, each of which had a different doctor response.
Yes.
Doctor had a different waiting room in a different building. And
the coordination problem.
You know it, life turns in, you got it. The coordination problem is just massive. And, you know, one of the things, and if I can be selfish for a minute, one of the things I learned, and I was my dad's primary caregiver. I'm the oldest of five. So we had enough people to kind of pitch in, and help. But I spent a lot of, you know, nights in the hospital and the rehab center with him and stuff and tried to help, you know, to be that coordinator. And it was beyond both of us.
Yes.
You know, we're in Louisville, Kentucky. He founded the biggest company in the, you know, in the city. I followed him as chair. We had every kind of, you know, privilege and access and network and, you know, knowledge that one could hope for. And I don't have any complaint at all about the quality of medical care. The medical care was great. The nursing care was loving and efficient. But the coordination was completely beyond us. And so my focus right now in my sort of venture capital and civic activism work is significantly focused on innovation in the last years of life to help with this coordination problem, because the more people I've talked to, it's almost a universal experience. And have you been a caregiver, if I can ask, for, you know, somebody close to you?
Yes. My wife passed from lymphoma 2 years ago, and then my stepfather passed last year.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, thank you. It's brutal. And then my stepfather passed, and it was almost identical to what you're describing for both of them.
Yeah.
Hale and Hardy, and then all of a sudden they deconstruct into 50 separate practice areas, each of which require a different team of physicians who are doing their absolute best. Like, these people really do genuinely want to deliver good care, but they can't. There's no way that they can read all of the charts and be up on all of the, you know, my wife's condition would change in a matter of hours. Yeah. And so the charts weren't even updated. Now, at the time, OpenAI had just released ChatGPT, or it was in its early days, and it was clear to me where things were headed. And I considered at that time creating essentially a coordination agent to sell to large hospitals of this sort that could sit in the room, capture all of the conversations and all the data between the practitioners the all of the providers, the patients, and the families in order to and then collate all that information and then create a chart out of it, essentially, and one for the physicians and also one for the patients and the family, so that everybody could be on the same page in their own kind of level of access. And the reason I didn't do it, I'll tell you, is I didn't want to have to deal with selling something like that to at an enterprise scale to the bureaucracies and the administrations. It just seemed like I could create a great product, but then I was going to have to sell it through these administrations. Yeah. It just wasn't worth it. And, you know, that seems like the biggest blockade to me. I don't know what you think.
That is, no, in terms of, so you got a couple of really, really good points in there. The biggest challenge for, you know, kind of innovation in the healthcare system right now is that it is so consolidated. And particularly when you have, you know, when you have an IT system that by definition is more effective with scale, you know, the broader the scale, the more, you know, the more users use it for the same thing, the better it can become. It's really, really slow. I mean, the sales cycles are just massively slow. And, you know, there are a very small number of insurance companies for things that are focused on, you know, kind of the navigation and the administration and financing. And in most cities, the hospital systems are, you know, there is one with a majority, and, you know, maybe there are two systems that have the majority of the beds. And the bureaucracies are, you know, they're hard to sell through. And then the government is, of course, paying for half of it. So it's really complicated. It's also one of these things where, you know, the nature of the beast is
David,
you know,
there's our music.
There's the nature of the beast.
Yeah, there's the nature of the beast. All right, we'll be right back after this break with more from David Jones.
Right on.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
Hello, Americans. It's Uncle Sam here. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS or state, don't worry. I've got important news that may help you negotiate a lower tax bill. In today's economy, the IRS has released a variety of new rules and is offering more flexible terms to help Americans looking to settle their IRS debt. If you apply today, we may be able to lift your wage garnishments and release a freeze on your bank assets or business. Our team of tax professionals can resolve your case and stop collection actions against you. Even if you've been audited or haven't filed a return in years, they can help. Call right now and find out if you qualify to settle your IRS debt for far less than what you owe. Pick up your phone right now and call us for a free $500 IRS tax review. Don't wait. Here's the number.
Call right now. 800-943-9215. 800-943-9215. 800-943-9215. Again, for the last time, that's 800-943-9215. Packages start at $29.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details. Terms and conditions apply.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. Now you can get Vivint's award-winning home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News & World Report has recognized Vivint as the best professionally installed home security system of 2022. too. And right now, you can get Vivint's home security technology for about $1 a day. Plus, get free professional installation from a licensed technician. Protect your home and loved ones for as low as $1 a day. Call right now for your free home security consultation.
800-918-6189. 800-918-6189. 800-918-6189. That's 800-918-6189.
Welcome back to The Leaking Timeline with Eric Newton and Guy Singstock. We're live today with David Jones talking about healthcare, and you can join the conversation at 800-878-7529. We'd love to hear from you.
So, David, you know, one of the things I'm realizing as I've been listening to you and considering this coordination problem, then all of a sudden my mind kind of explodes, right? Because I'm like, I'm coordinated with, okay, we're talking about insurance companies, we're talking about government policy, we're talking about like the hospitals, like this, the question that I think that the problem we all face at every single moment, right, is where's the best place to put my attention, right? That's the problem of every single moment.
Right.
And man, when I look at this moment, looking at what you're looking at, I'm like, I have no idea. And it makes me really curious, like in your experience, right, having probably a lot of distinction and history in these domains, where are you as a venture capitalist, as somebody who's a kind of a, in some sense, I guess, a figurehead, an advocate, right, in this world? Where are you personally putting your attention with this coordination to address this coordination
problem? Well, I'm putting my attention, I am focused, and let me just share, I'm 67 years old, and so actuarially, healthcare companies take a long time to build. They're not consumer tech. So actuarially, early stage venture capital probably doesn't fit as well for me. But I am spending my time on the innovation in end-of-life care, and let me give you a couple of themes that I think are really important. One is team-based care. We've talked about the problem of no individual medical mind can hold it all. And, the opportunities with sort of passive monitoring and creation of records and the things that, you know, the digital things can do. But what I'm seeing working really well is, some of it is what we call telehealth still, although there'd be a different name for that, but you can have, for example, a remote palliative care or gerontologist kind of doctor working with a frail elder who has a full knowledge and great depth in the case and all the different things, and then a range of both remote and in the home caregivers who are called on and dispatched as needed. The coordination is the kind of scheduling things that we're getting good at in all different parts of the economy. And the modalities of paying for team-based care are becoming more possible as, again, the power of the, the software to get things right, to, get through disagreements about who owes what to whom in a more audited way is picking up speed. And, I'm seeing real excitement about getting scarce physicians able to oversee, without as much schlepping around, that is a mix. It's not this is not an AI engine. This is a different form of human collaboration. But and one more sort of fact of at least what I believe, if you survey people, most people do not want to spend time in hospitals. if you ask them where they hope to die, they want to die at home. They don't want to be a financial burden, and they don't want to be hooked up to machines and all that kind of stuff. But, 80% of people say that's what they prefer, but only 20% of the people actually manage to be able to do that. And I think the possibility, and you save money if you don't go into the hospital. So there is there's like a pay for in the system. But team-based care, and it can happen in the hospital too. The great hospital systems like the Mayo Clinic are famous because they collaborate as teams across billing lines, if you will. So I think that's really exciting. The other piece is, you know, the toolkit that lets people stay at home and let more things happen in the home. That is a really big deal. It's not certain how far that can go because there are human advantages to the clinicians. Think about the nurses who are able to collaborate together and, you know, share, you know, the caregiving duties, the intensive caregiving duties for patients in a hospital, excuse me, or nursing home. The social dynamics, I guess what I'm saying here is I'm really excited about AI and the potential to make enormous differences. But the human dynamics, because, you know, most caregivers, the hospital, you know, the nurses, the, you know, nurse assistants, the doctors, people, they care. They're caregivers because they started out caring, and they still are despite the madness of the system. So there are real human dynamics to be worked through. But the power of the computational power can really, you know, can help us clear away some of this bureaucracy and let the human beings do human work. Yeah. That's my, and I can talk about individual use cases of, you know, cool remote monitoring technology and stuff like that. There's a lot of that that's great. But I'm really both banging my head against the brick wall and optimistic is about the organizational changes that the power of these technology tools can bring. I mean, we spend about $5 trillion a year on healthcare in the U.S. I mean, it's coming up on 20% of the of GDP, and about $1 trillion of that is on administration. And, you know, AI is really good at replacing, you know, redundant, you know, phone calls and run get this piece of paper, run get that piece of paper kind of tasks. Or digital file path. So anyway, that's it's a maybe a more general answer than you're looking for, but I do think restructuring the system so it works better for the human beings is the goal. And I think if we make that happen, we can save money.
I'm appreciating your what I'm hearing and feeling from you is an emphasis on the humanity of remembering that people in the medical world and the patients are actually humans. So I see you tending to that, being aware of that. And I know that doctors, especially surgeons, are often not known for their bedside manner. In fact, my father-in-law, who was recently in the hospital, just hated his doctors and hated his nurses. Like they did a great job with him medically, but man, did they fail at the human part? And you hear stories like that all the time. So I'm appreciating just, I sense it in what you're saying, but I also sense it in kind of the tone that you're coming from. This I'm curious, how did you, is that just a natural thing for you, a natural disposition, or did that grow out of your experience with your father dying, or where did that come from?
I think I think some of it is my dad's example, and some of it was particularly, so, you know, part of his book, you know, is about his growth as a leader. And if, you know, if we have time, we could talk about what he learned in the Navy and all that stuff. But one of the things he was just fantastic at was thanking people, and not just saying, you know, thank you for your service kind of methodically, but he really was able to project gratitude. And he really felt gratitude. And, you know, I saw that, you know, when I was a teenager, I thought it was really annoying because my dad was, you know, but at different points, but when he was really sick and in pain and, you know, the type of cancer he had, it caused two of his vertebrae to collapse and terrible back pain and, you know, stuff like that. But all the way through, he was genuinely happy to be surrounded by, you know, nurses and aides and radiation technicians and people who pushed, you know, the bed through the halls and doctors. who were doing their best work and were really good at what they were doing. He just got a real charge out of it, and he was so good at saying thank you. And he really, you know, I mean, he meant it. He felt joy when people were doing the best work that they could do, because he, I mean, I think that was one of his own values. He thought everybody should, you know, I mean, we all have the opportunity while we're here to, you know, do the best we can. And if you have a skill and can put it to good use, I mean, that really was something that he showed. And, you know, I loved seeing that when he was sick and, you know, when he was healthy. He was ferociously competitive also. And, you know, we all have, and I back to the surgeon for a minute. You know, my experience is, you know, people in jobs that require really, really, really intensive concentration, mm-hmm. where, you know, any distraction can cause, you know, a very significant mistake. Mm-hmm. You know, that sometimes they're, you know, sometimes they're impatient, but all of us have, you know, and I'm certainly very impatient sometimes. But we all have, you know, we all have a range. We're a bundle of characteristics, you know, better than our worst characteristic and worse than our best characteristic. But anyway, that's kind of the frame I see. But, you know, I think we should, you know, we should all be grateful for the good things that other human beings do if they go to the effort to get the specialized training. And
amen
and
to
I've,
that.
I've done yeah. a bad job of talking about totally. You know, about drugs and the prescription of all these wonderful new drugs that are so powerful and can be good. But, you know, but again, I don't want to sound too naive here. This stuff is really expensive, and the $1 trillion, if that's the right number, of admin costs to be saved. There are a lot of jobs in there and everything, but I do not see a massive protest in the United States if healthcare administrative costs are reduced.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be very popular.
Yeah, totally. You know, we had a guest on that was educated and in a particular what was it called?
The Alpha new School.
Alpha School.
Yeah, AI education.
And one of the things that just blew me away was she spent like a lot of her growing up being taught the curriculum, all of her, like what we normally think of what we learn in school, for the first 2 hours using AI. And then she spent the rest of the day basically just with teachers, right, doing projects.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't call the teachers teachers. Because they, I forget what they called them, like guides. Or something.
Guides.
Because AI was handling all the stuff when teachers have to handle it, right, takes all their time. Because the teachers were free to that, they could become guides and totally focus on the human aspect of it. And I swear to God, like she was great. So,
that was the whole point. Was, well, look, AI is just a tool. It's efficient. Use it to get the academics done, and then you can spend the rest of the day connecting, building your values, doing the things that we all know matter. And I think, David, you're saying essentially the same thing with medicine. You know, it's time for us to use the tools.
It might be,
to be more efficient, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I, you know,
well, I think the, you know, the idea that diagnostic, you know, okay, you know, if my doctor can say, all right, David, we know what your issues are. Now let's work on them. You know, let's design exercises. Let's design plan, whatever the teacher does, you know, and that may be how the, you know, the clinicians evolve to being more, you know, I think I said counselor. It's possible that teacher is a good word too.
Hmm. Yep. I wonder, you know, have you looked at, well, we don't have time for that question. All right. It's time for a break. We'll be right back in a few minutes with more from David Jones on The Leaking Timeline.
Hey, vacation lovers, it's finally time to use all those random facts you learned on TikTok for something that actually matters. It's the Radio Trivia Challenge from thevacationbuddies.com. All right, here's how it works. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll score a complimentary 3-day, 2-night getaway from the Vacation Buddies. You'll stay at none other than Westgate Resorts, in your choice of Vegas, Orlando, Myrtle Beach, or Branson. You ready? According to Travel Stats, which of these three cities is the most visited vacation destination in the U.S.? A, Las Vegas, B, Orlando, C, New York City. First 10 callers get the trip. So stop scrolling and start dialing. And let's see if TikTok actually taught you anything.
Be one of the first 10 callers. Call Vacation Buddies right now. 800-340-1834. 800-340-1834. 800-340-1834. That's 800-340-1834. Keep listening for an exciting offer from U.S. Med. If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain and inconvenience of pricking your fingers over and over again. By wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers right away. If you're testing your blood sugar 4 or more times per day, injecting insulin 3 or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. Call 800-223-4979, 800-223-4979. We'll tell you all you need to know about CGMs. A CGM can immediately reduce pain. It's accurate, easy to use, and helps you make better diabetes treatment decisions. And with insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now to learn more. 800-223-4979, 800-223-4979. Plus, get free shipping and we'll bill your insurance company for you. CGMs are the newest in diabetic technology. They can help you stay in range and manage your diabetes better. Call now to receive your new continuous glucose monitor at little or no out-of-pocket cost. And delivery is free. Remember, if you're testing your blood sugar 4 or more times per day, injecting insulin 3 or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, call today and learn about the latest CGM technology. 800-223-4979. 800-223-4979. 800-223-4979. Co-pays and deductibles may apply. Call 800-223-4979. That's 800-223-4979. Sponsored by U.S. Medical Supply.
Welcome back to The Leaking Timeline. We're live today with David Jones. And, you know, Guy, you were... David, we were so excited. We have 8,000 more questions for you.
Yeah, that just happened.
And 3 minutes to ask them.
Yeah. So, okay. You know, we want to invite you back to probably answer these questions, but the thing we were both talking about is how much AI and machines are already doing surgeries, right? And doing surgeries that are better than human beings can do them. And if you just play that forward exponentially, at some point, like I can imagine a future where most of the medical procedures are almost all done by robots and computers. And just like with self-driving cars, when you don't have to drive, all of a sudden it transforms what a car is, right? With interfaces. I'm wondering about, like, what does that make a hospital? If all of the managerial stuff, all the medical stuff, right, is handled by machines, what becomes possible in a hospital?
If you can answer that in 15 seconds, you're a superhero. Yeah.
So I think that is beyond my capability, but I will give you an analogy, the way I think about it. You know, one of the very first investments, venture investments I was around was in a company called Regal Cinemas, which went on to become the largest exhibitor of movies, you know, largest movie theater company. This was early.
That's our time, David. We got to do it. You got to come back for the podcast.
Yes.
People still go to movies.
That's true. All right, everybody. The book is David A. Jones, Always Moving Forward. Check it out where books are sold. And we will see you all next week on The Leaking Timeline.